Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
B29 The Game.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You can call this the new world order of wrestling, brother.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Are we staging a coup? This is a coup.
That's right.
This is an out-and-out coup.
It's the team have not takeover on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
But our numbers are dwindling.
All of your favorite members of the part-time crew, from hosts to producers to update guys to everybody in between, whatever's left, the gaggle of talent that is left over.
The Island of Misfit radio hosts.
In the Key Studios, Rob Tribble, John Chuckery, hanging out with you this morning on an MLK day, a very cold, wintry, blustery MLK day. 23 degrees.
That 5 mile hike from the parking garage
really?
Was a little chilly today.
Tell you what, you don't
that
realize,
wind was biting me to my core.
You don't realize how far from the varsity we are, do you?
Lord have mercy.
Wow. Well, we got lots of stuff to get into. Chip Tower's going to join us from Dog Nation. Covers the Bulldogs, longtime Bulldogs reporter, going to join us at 8 o'clock this morning. But obviously, it is a championship Monday. After what was a historic NFL championship
first
Sunday.
First time both games have gone to overtime.
Yep, in the Super Bowl era, first time both games have gone to overtime. So we will be talking a lot about the conference championship games today. Two just terrific games. I mean, so many storylines. And so, obviously, we are your home for SB 53 in the ATL, as we're corporately mandated to say. We'll be reminding you of that all throughout the show.
Who are the ad wizards that came up with that one?
I like your suggestions, but let me change it all. That will be the catchphrase today. But yes, as of next week, at least the dreaded Aints will not be here in Atlanta. It will be the Rams and Patriots.
I wasn't one of those people that was horrified by the notion of that.
Oh, really?
I thought it'd be kind of fun. That whole town would have come here, by the way.
Oh, yes. Everybody would have been here. Yes.
They would
yes.
have rolled up the sidewalks.
Let me tell you, for 2 weeks, there wouldn't have been a dishwasher box available out in Atlanta.
Dope.
I mean, the YMCAs would have been overbooked. I mean, it would have been.
The youth hostels?
Yes. It would have been, every soup kitchen filled. I mean, it would have been a
those little crappy rent-by-the-hour hotel rooms right off 75.
I mean, every Red Roof Inn would be occupied.
Lord have mercy.
Not to disparage the good people at Red Roof. Are they a sponsor? Is Red Roof Inn
Be careful.
Sponsoring anything?
Be careful.
Yeah. People get fired
One time
less.
I went on the air and said Zima Zucks. And I got called into the office. You know why?
Really?
Zima was a sponsor.
Wow.
Got to be careful.
Wow. Boy, those
and in
were,
case Zima is, it doesn't suck.
Boy, those were some old Buckhead days at night drinking
mercy.
Zima, huh?
Indeed. Jeez. Indeed.
Wow. So, yeah, lots to get into with the AFC and NFC title games. I do want to mention, too, because I've already gotten tweeted, I guess Pity Martinez, Atlanta United's newest signing, is officially in Atlanta, landed about 5:30. This morning. Yes. So,
what do you have? What do you have? Staff out
well,
there?
Well, there are people already
the
there to greet him. There was already, I guess, a crowd to greet
are
him.
Are you serious? Atlanta United fans are there to greet him.
They did that with Barco, right? They were at the airport when Barco landed. So
and then Barco started hitting on all their girlfriends one by one, right?
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey,
you know, I've ruined Barco's career. By the way, that's
you,
my
you
fault.
Ruined it.
I did with
How'd
that
you?
Song, with that song, and everything that I did. That parody song. He literally, his life has not been the same since.
He's
I
been
did
in
that.
Hiding since.
Yeah. And I have one more that I had in the works for last year, and I was like, man, do I want to ruin another person's career?
Because you're such a prolific lyricist and songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
There's depth. You're like a lasagna, man, or an onion or something. So much layers. So
yeah,
depth.
I'm like sausage. You don't want to know how you make it. It's just what comes out in the end. So that didn't sound very good, but that's all right. That's going to be that kind of show.
It's going to be
that
kind of
hours.
Loaded with innuendo, right?
Yeah.
And artful sayings.
I can't wait until, because we're going to do the Wendy Zone and we get Brian.
What's Brian going to do? Is he going to talk about The Bachelor? What's going to happen? I don't know.
I have absolutely no idea yet.
Oh, my God.
I told him, Wendy, when she does it, usually, you know, kind of ties into sports and stuff. I was like, screw that. Go pop culture.
Go pop culture all the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
go
you
got to
take 100 selfies, though, during the show like Wendy does.
Yes, yes. And you need to wear 4 coats and a hat.
Yeah.
It's also tough to do 3 producers' jobs, you know? Doing my best back here.
Oh, look at you. You're already martyring yourself. Nailing yourself to a cross already.
What a martyr. Yeah.
Wow. Bless your heart.
St. Brian. Wow. Jeez. Well, of course, it was the call heard around the world as, man, the angst that people had on Twitter last night, Rob, over the non-pass interference call in the Saints game last night. Now, the NFL came out and they made a statement. I guess their officiating crew said that, yes, they missed the call and everything like that. But I guess my question is, at the end of the day, what did that blown pass interference call do to a 13-0 blown lead or a 20-10
exactly
blown
lead? Exactly right. There is a point to be made about that, though. There is, because, you know, these games are going to be closely contested. There's not much room for error.
Right.
And they did make a play to keep a drive going that could have potentially led to a touchdown, and the officials kind of stepped in. I'll tell you this, though. I felt like I was watching a conference championship game from the 70s. They let them play last night.
They did. And
they let them play.
I think the thing that's getting lost, Rob, in that Saints game, because all the pictures are out there, there were two, and one of them was down by the goal line. There were two missed delay of game penalties on the Saints. The Saints did not snap the ball before the time had expired, but they let him snap it anyway.
Yeah,
there were two face mask penalties that the Saints made that was not called. There was one play where a guy stomped on a Rams player's head that there's a picture of that was not called. So, with all due respect to the Saints,
it evens out a little bit.
Right,
but Sean Payton.
Right,
we'll never get over the blown pass interference call.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well,
you know what?
But good. That's true though.
That's good.
It is true, though. There are other incidents as well. You know,
how about back-to-back years of heartbreak for the Saints? Isn't that great?
That's kind of good. Oh, and last year's especially
gut-wrenching.
This has to be gut-wrenching, though, losing it at home like that, too.
Oh, no question.
You kidding me?
In a game where they controlled that game the whole way.
They did.
Mean, they were in control of that game the whole way. And you know, I give the Rams a lot of credit. I really did not think they would go in there. And honestly, the way that game started, I thought, oh, man, here goes the Saints. They're going to blow them out on there. But they held them to a field goal on that first drive. Then they get the interception on Goff, and they can't capitalize on that and hold them to another field goal. And you're thinking, well, wow, it's only 6-0, and it ought to be 14-0 because normally the Saints go down there, and they're going to punch at least one of those in, you would think. But the fact that the Rams were able to hold them and keep them kind of in check just allowed things to kind of develop. And dude, that 57-yard field goal that guy kicked would have been good from 70.
That would have been good from 70. That he certainly wasn't that little yippee crying Bears kicker, was he? He just went out there and just
that was a mortar shot.
That was amazing. Yeah. Wow, there's no doubt about it either. Yeah, but as far as the Saints go, I figure they're vulnerable coming in because you know their offensive line was so banged up.
Yep.
And they've been struggling the last few weeks. What, 19 points a game or something like that? You score 13 points the first quarter, you score 10 the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get their offense going. Now, over in the AFC, in what is, you know, whatever, if you want to call that instant classic type of game, Patriots in control. First half of that game, I mean, at one point, almost at the end of the first half, Kansas City had like 32 yards of offense or something.
I think after the first quarter, they had -5.
And
that's your ball game right there. The Patriots, ball control, ball control, ball control. What does that mean? When you go to overtime, that defense is going to be gassed and then Brady was Brady, surgical.
You know, I said, you know, we had Jason Cole on, who's the editor of FanSided on Saturday, and I was trying to tell him, I was like, this is what Bill Belichick lives for, and he was like, well, you know, they're not as talented. I'm thinking to myself, it doesn't matter what Bill Belichick has from a talent
has
standpoint.
Has this ever been a massively talented team? Not really. I mean, early on in their run, they had a lot of great defensive players, you know. They have not been astoundingly talented.
There's not a guy who's in the Hall of Fame. And I mean, maybe Ty Law gets there. Maybe Richard Seymour gets
there.
But none of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. It's not like he had the 85 Bears or the 86 Giants. I mean,
he Hogan's you to death.
Yeah.
He Edelman's you to death. Wes Welker'd you to death.
Burkhart's
of course, number
you to
12.
Death.
Yeah, Boy, Burkhart could get third and one. Why isn't he in a Falcons uniform? There's your difference right there. Of course, we're going to talk about how close are the Falcons to these teams we saw last night. I think closer than you think.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think that the gap is that far. But you know, give the Patriots, and I know they've played this underdog card, but I go back, Rob.
But they legitimately were this year, I think.
I go back to Sunday night early in the season, and it was one of the actual few Sunday night games I sat and watched, and mostly because I was out at a bar and they let you smoke a cigar, and so I'm sitting down smoking a cigar, having some drinks, watching the game, and it was the Patriots and the Lions. Remember when the Patriots and Lions played? And the Lions just whipped them that night. Oh, boy. Brady and them are in trouble.
There it is. The end of the dynasty.
Boy, Matt Patricia figured them out.
And Brady just, on the decline.
Just the narratives that were coming out of that game. You know what? We may have seen the best of the Patriots. And people are like, well, you know, they've had the most losses in the red. It doesn't matter. When you have the best quarterback and the best coach in the league.
Proved it once again.
Yeah. And that was all scheme, what Bill Belichick was doing defensively last night. At times he would blitz. At times he would stunt his defensive linemen. At times he would twist those guys.
Just make Mahomes'
life miserable. Make it, and they were hitting him. They had, I think, 5 sacks in the game.
They did
everything possible to make his – now, look, I'll give Mahomes credit. He made some terrific throws.
Well,
he made some plays.
Man.
But he also missed some throws. You know, he missed that one touchdown that they could have had and then he took the sack that kept him out of field goal range. So – you know, there were some plays that cost him. And there's no doubt he's a terrific young player. But you saw that's the best of Bill Belichick, confusing your quarterback, scheming your way. This is where I get frustrated, Rob.
So frustrated. You rendered yourself speechless.
We couldn't do that in a million years with our team.
No. Doesn't seem like it.
If we can't out-talent you in a million years, we can't out-scheme you that way.
No.
How
do you think Belichick has gotten his reputation, though? He stopped the K-Gun offense. He stopped the greatest show on turf. And that's what he just keeps doing it and doing. And this is a offense for the generation, too. The Chiefs are, apparently.
Yeah.
Mahomes going to get a $200 million deal.
Yeah, and he's probably the MVP of the league, I'm guessing, at 50 touchdowns, you know. But they were you watch him, and they just scheme their way. God, if we took our personnel and could scheme our way into stuff, no one would beat us.
No. You're 14-2 every year.
Yeah. They wouldn't beat us. I mean, but if we can't out-personnel you.
Patriots don't have the talent the Falcons do.
No. They're not a more talented. I got news for you. Of the 4 teams on the field yesterday, Patriots are the least talented.
Least talented.
Now,
but the best coach.
They have the best coach and.
Best quarterback.
They have the best quarterback. So if you have those two things. That's what I say all the time. People hate on Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Brother, if you don't have Matt Ryan in this league, you can't be there. Mm-hmm. You have no chance to be in one of those kinds of games to play in. You just can't have, you know, if you have the Ravens defense of 01, you know, that shuts out 7 people during the season, you know, that's one thing.
You can win with Kyle Bowler.
Right, exactly. You can have, who was it? You know, it was Dilfer and who was the guy that was Tony Banks.
Tony Banks.
You know, that was the two quarterbacks they had.
Dilfer, not Kyle Bowler. Kyle Bowler's the metaphor.
Right. But if you have Dilfer and Tony Banks, but you don't give up more than 6 points a game, you know, you can win.
You can win. You can win 10-6.
Right. But that's, you know, that's historic level that you get that. But last night, that was just a clinic. And I'll tell you the other guy, you know, we're talking to the bullpen about this. Anybody doubts about how good Rob Gronkowski is as a player, I don't know what more that guy can do. I mean, banged up, hurt, you know, it's not been his year. Talking about retirement. Yeah. By the way, too, do you think if he retires, guys, you're going to see him in the WWE?
Oh, absolutely. Or at least his villains in action movies or something, right?
Yeah.
But just the thing about him is also, of course, last night, 2 key catches. He has not been targeted that much, especially the latter part of the season. What has he done? He's blocked like a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, he has just been he's blocked better than any Falcons offensive lineman.
That over-the-shoulder catch he made, though, last night.
Eric Berry all over him, too. Perfect throw, perfect catch. Amazing.
We get back. How close are the Falcons to the Rams and the Saints in the NFC? We'll give you that breakdown next. Team Have Takeover on Sports Radio 910 The Game. First, the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer.
Here, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hecker the holder, Zuerlein the kicker, settles at 50, kick from the 47. 57-yard field goal try. Kick is up. It's away. And it is through the uprights. The Los Angeles Rams with a 57-yard field goal to go to the Super Bowl.
The crestfallen voice.
Ah, Glorious Lee from Saints Radio Network. Game-winning field goal. Rams win it in overtime, 26-23. Down in Nolens.
Well, there's no doubt about that kick either.
Yeah, I mean, that was a mortar shot that he hit. Yeah, and by the way, he was clutch on all of his kicks yesterday. So
love Falcon fans trolling Saints fans.
Oh, it was great.
What was it you said somebody was saying? It's, why are you celebrating other people's misery?
Yeah.
That's sports, as
yeah,
you said.
Exactly. That's what sports is all about. Yeah.
Well, that's not very nice.
Yeah, okay. Because they didn't do it to us.
We don't live
like
in a
that.
Nice world.
They did. They wanted to put a billboard up, remember, in Atlanta about the 28-3 and all that. So
yeah, so you know,
yeah, go.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah, I got two words for you. All right. So anyway, it's a team have not takeover today on MLK Day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home for SB 53 in the ATL. I'm surprised they didn't put like Hotlanta on there as the tagline.
I hate that one worse than ATL too. Yeah, Hotlanta.
So you're home for SB 53 in the ATL as our on-air mandatory catchphrase that we say around these parts. By the way, too, Hawks coming up later on today. Hawks and Magic. You're home for the Hawks right here on 92.9 The Game. Pre-game at 2:30. I believe Mike Conti is back for all that. Steve Holman with the call starting at 3:00. Annual tradition on MLK Day: Hawks versus the Orlando Magic. Just an annual tradition in the sense that the Hawks always play.
I watched this game. I know they lost against the Celtics the other night, but they're playing hard.
That was a perfect game, though, wasn't it?
That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, they came out. They led most of the way. They blew it in the fourth quarter, took the L.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
I was entertained and they lost.
Right.
That's precisely what I want from the Hawks every night.
Everybody left that building happy. You know, you got to see a little scuffle. You got to see, you know, some good Hawks action. And then they lost. That's what you want right now.
Lloyd's got them playing hard. They're heading in the right direction. It's going to be a while, but there's some nice pieces on this team.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little Hawks a little bit later on. Also, next, too, it will be Brian Gebhardt's edition of the Wendy Zone. But if we tie this back into the Atlanta Falcons, Rob, the question that I ask is, when you look at these two teams yesterday in the NFC title game, how close are the Atlanta Falcons to these two teams?
I think they're very close.
I mean,
look at Rex Burkhead can get third and one, can he? Rex Burkhead can find the end zone. You know why? Because you have Andrews in that offensive line. Tom Brady wasn't even touched last night. Isn't that your recipe? Mm-hmm. You've got all your skilled players. Linemen, and more linemen. All your undrafted free agents should be linemen. You need to bring just a cavalcade of them in there, plug them in who can play. That's all you need.
What I'll
Something
say
with that defensive line, too, but that's where it all is.
What I'll say, the two things about these teams that – why it's what makes it different. And I'm going right back to the well on what we just talked about. You know, Wade Phillips can scheme you defensively, and he did a lot of things in the second half to stymie Kamara in the running game. And then Sean Payton's the best play caller in the NFL on offense, and he can find guys open. I'm more amazed that they were shut down in the red zone those couple of times that they were. But I
what's that beaten up O-line, man? They came in beaten up, and they're compromised.
But I will tell you, right now, that's the only difference between those two teams and us is, if I give you those three head coaches, Dan's not first or second over those two. You ain't starting your franchise with Dan over Sean Payton or what's his name?
McVay.
Yeah, McVay. Like, there's no, I mean, with all due respect, you're not taking Dan Quinn over those two guys right now.
Mm-mm.
That right now is part of the difference of it. Is you can talk injuries and all this kind of stuff, but Falcons had plenty of games to win. There were plenty of wins on their schedule. You know, Philadelphia is not an injury game. You could have won against Dallas. You could have won against Cincinnati. You could have won against the Saints. I mean,
should have won those games.
I mean, there's plenty of wins that were decided that you could have won those games. But there are reasons why you don't execute, you don't out-coach, you don't out-scheme, you don't do those things. And I agree with you. From a personnel standpoint, the Falcons don't take a backseat to either one of these teams.
No.
Hell, we beat the Rams two seasons ago. You know, we can beat the Saints. Hell, probably should have beat the Saints on our home field. We were never going to win on Thanksgiving night against
the
Saints.
No. You saw that one. But the first game here that went to overtime, that was a winnable game.
Yeah, there was absolutely. And I'll go back to in that game, Rob, we weren't all gas, no brakes at the end of the first half, and the Saints were. And that difference in those points.
Took 28 minutes for you to come out with one of Dan Quinn's bumper stickers.
Oh, well, listen, iron sharpens iron. Yeah. Right now in the studio, the bear is loose. So But those kinds of things, of course, on your home for the Falcons, on your flagship home of all things, your home for SB 53 in the ATL, your home flagship station of the NFL and the Falcons. So anyway, is, you know.
Excited about the game.
Yeah, Hunger Games. My Hunger Games index is up, you know, so I'm fast and furious right now. So
you're excited about the game management, coach.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I'm embracing the suck and owning the now. So there we go. But. No, that you look at things like, okay.
Starve your distractions, feed your focus.
Right. Okay, that sounds good. All right. I'm sure we can come up with plenty of stuff from Dan. Yeah. But you go to that game and in a situation where we decided not to be aggressive at the end of the first half, and they did, and it led to points. And it turns out that those kinds of decisions are things that in the long run cost you a game. And that's what ends up happening to this team. Not we don't have enough personnel.
Isn't that the most maddening thing, though, when your team has the ball late in the first half and they're not aggressive?
Especially our offense.
Yeah. Should always, with that quarterback. You
yeah.
Should always.
And that
be
wide receiver?
Yeah, that guy.
I mean, don't
11,
you chuck it downfield at some point to that guy and see what happens?
Or in any of the other myriad of weapons
yeah.
you have.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady's going to be aggressive and he's going to throw the ball to Hogan.
Well, you saw. I mean, in that overtime, I'm telling you right now, Tom Brady said, they're not getting the ball back.
You convert 3 third-and-10s.
Yeah.
That Chiefs defense was gassed.
Oh, they
ball
were.
Control.
That's
why
right.
I knew, oh, this
and,
is over.
But you look at the way Brady in overtime was throwing the football. I mean, those were darts that
those
he was
darts.
Throwing.
Yeah.
Like there was a purpose for what he was doing. Now, are you like me? I'm not taking my foot off the gas pedal for expectations of Falcons. They're Super Bowl or bust next year. Where's the Super Bowl at next year, Brian? Do we know? You look up in your crack research staff over there with the three producers.
I believe it's L.A., but I'll double check.
Is it out in L.A.? Rob.
How long before they put it in London?
Oh, not long. I've said that before.
Or Mexico
but
City.
I'm not lowering my expectations next year because you weren't the play. You are Super Bowl or bust. You need to get your act together. And I really believe that even if they're 9-7, if they're not a playoff team, there'll be a new head coach and probably a new GM to start a new regime that following season.
I think
season.
Arthur's going to start getting a little impatient, especially
sure.
with the, like, as I've said, told you before,
Miami,
with the
by
success
the way.
Of Atlanta United.
Yeah, I agree with you. I said that yesterday.
Why can't you duplicate that? I'm
right.
hiring the right people. I'm giving you all the resources
right.
in the world. Where are my results?
Right.
They're giving me results.
And he is stuck with Thomas Dimitroff through thick and thin
yeah.
and said, look, you're my guy, and we're going to let you stay here and build this thing. But they have to be Super Bowl or bust next year, too. And you know what? I don't want to hear about, you know, whatever. That take whatever excuse, you know. This team should be talking about we're good enough
no
to win the Super Bowl.
Next year.
Yeah. I mean, this is not rebuild. We're not in the middle
no.
of a transitional period. This
retooling,
is
retooling, not rebuilding.
Yeah. I mean, this is we add to our roster, change some things around, but we're still Super Bowl. And I don't care if you lose Tevin Coleman or you lose this guy or that guy. That's the NFL, man. That's the NFL. I mean, it doesn't matter who leaves and stays up in you know, New England up there. As long as 12 and Belichick are there, everybody else is a moving piece and a moving part out there. So,
why is it that Belichick and Saban are just better at their jobs than everybody else? What is that one thing? All other coaches are putting in 23-hour days. They're doing everything they possibly can, trying to figure out every possible contingency of what could go on during a game. What is it about them? It's just an extra level of something I can't put my hand on. It's just brilliance.
Brian asked me yesterday, would you take Belichick or Saban?
Well, for what? For the NFL or a college game?
I just asked you, would you take Belichick or Saban?
I'm still going to go Belichick.
I am too, because of what he's done in the NFL, in salary cap.
If I had to settle for Nick, I'd be okay with that too.
Oh, absolutely.
Or even maybe Dabo to a certain degree.
Yeah.
You can't ignore him.
Yeah.
We do get to talk some college football today, don't we?
Yes,
please?
We will.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, we will.
That's all I want.
But I look at the Falcons and I say Super Bowl or bust, and I don't look at those two teams and say, well, we've got no shot to beat either one of those teams out there. There's no question that the Falcons roster matches up with every one of those teams. Like
it
I
does.
Said, we beat the Rams a season. That same Rams team, now I get it. They're a year older, and but still, we can beat that Saints team. We can beat that Rams team.
Well, you beat them on the road in the playoff game.
Yeah.
The season, which was kind of frustrating, too. You,
yeah.
you kind of stumbled your way into the playoffs to a certain degree, and you go out there and win a playoff game. Still should have beaten a Julio drop away from getting to the conference championship game last year.
And that's the thing, is that some of those teams execute. They can scheme you. They can coach you. We've got to get better at that. And I had a laugh yesterday because I did my What's Bug and Chuckery on we've already lost our game manager. Like, 1 week after we finally put our game manager in place, this Kyle Flood,
yeah.
You know, after Dan made it a big point that he needs a game manager to help out, and the guy he hires a week later leaves to go to Alabama. What does that tell you? I mean, that we can't even manage to keep our game manager from managing
game manager.
To stay. I mean, that's – yeah. And that's kind of – and it sounds
like – a better paying gig probably at Alabama than a game management?
Oh, I disagree. He's on the staff of an NFL team. I'll tell you what part of it is.
Yeah, but there's a lot of college assistants making $1 million a year.
Yeah, but he ain't making no million a year, I promise you. But you know what I think part of that is? In 2 years, am I going to be in Tuscaloosa or am I going to still have a job in Atlanta? I honestly
– you know, maybe he's thinking, I don't know. Maybe he feels a little wobbly about Dan Quinn's future is what you're saying.
On your home for SP 53 and 8.
People should call us if they want to talk.
We've got the Wendy Zone coming up next, Brian Gebhardt style. Brian will love to answer your phone calls. That's his favorite thing
to
do.
Yeah, because he's doing like 30 different things, yeah. So please don't
in
my ear.
Yeah, we've got
kind of why I did that to tweak him.
He's got all three producer hats on today. That's all up next on a Team Have Not Takeover on the Morning Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brian, before you get started, every time I hear this song, Rob, I want to get some glow sticks and take meth.
Or take decks and have a pacifier at the array.
I mean, just, you know, I want to go over to Opera and just let loose.
All right, on that note, welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home for SB 53 in the ATL.
ATL, baby.
As you guys can tell, I'm not Wendy, but I'm going to do my best here. I completely ignored Chuckery's advice. He wanted all pop culture stuff. But we're going to do some other sports things that happened this weekend outside of the conference championship.
Well, this
game.
Is your gig, writer. You can do what you
want. Yeah,
exactly,
you want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to start off with boxing, which is just a sham anyways. But Adrian Broner, Jim Gray, I don't know if you guys saw this post-fight. But Adrian Broner, he's just one of these, just an absolute punk. I mean, constantly in interviews and everything, he's just kind of, he's not even really that good anymore. 3-3-1 in his last seven fights, as you guys will hear in just a minute. But here's him with announcer Jim Gray in the post-fight interview.
We're going to conduct this professionally or we're not going to have an interview. You make the decision. What did you think about the fight?
I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. I controlled the fight. He was missing. I hit him clean more times. I beat him.
You averaged 8 punches. Less than 8 punches was the most punches that you had in the round, and it seemed as though you couldn't get
it
close enough.
Like, it already sounded like you was against me. So I already ain't got a fair shake talking to you. But let me talk some. Let me let y'all know. I want to thank the whole hood who came out here. I love y'all. I did this for the hood. Y'all know I beat that boy. Y'all know I beat that boy. What they trying to do is they trying to get that money again with Pacquiao and Floyd. But it's cool. I ain't worrying about it. I'm still the man. I'm on top. Cincinnati, stand up. West Side. 2-5.
You're 3-3-1 in your last 7 fights. What will you do next?
Hey, I'm 3-3-1 my last 7, but I'll be 7-0 against you.
Well, that wouldn't mean much. That's the end of this interview.
What does that even mean?
Good luck to you in the future.
What Kevin Hart movie was that from, by the way?
Seriously.
I mean, by the way, he fought Manny Pacquiao over the weekend in what was really not. I didn't see the fight, but it wasn't even a close fight.
Zero interest.
Yeah, I mean, but no, I'm saying
the fight itself. Are we going to have a Mayweather-Pacquiao too now?
Yeah, there's talk about Mayweather-Pacquiao again. My understanding, Brian, the fight wasn't even close. That Pacquiao dominated.
Most people had Pacquiao winning 11 of the 12 rounds.
He was a unanimous winner in the fight.
Yeah, absolutely dominated him. And it's just guys like this. Like, he's 3-3-1 in his last fight. I don't even know why he's talked about anymore. Yeah. I don't even know why Pacquiao's fighting. Well,
that did sound like a Kevin Hart skit right there. Or something. You sure that wasn't SNL or something like that you pulled that
from?
Well,
it certainly wasn't the Oscars, was it?
Well, like Rob said, it sounded like Chris Tucker out of the gate there. So. All right, next up, another fun sports story here. Baker Mayfield, Hugh Jackson, this beef that Baker's had with Hugh since he's been fired. I personally love it. I think it's fantastic.
I don't get it, though. It's odd, but I always like sports beef, so I like a little chaos.
Well, I think he's just such a trash talker, and that's just such a, like, that's his bravado, that's his style. I mean, I've got no problem with
that's
it at all.
That's what feeds his essence.
Yeah, exactly. So, Baker, apparently he's got this new little, like, kind of gimmicky couple-minute YouTube thing or something, or a show on Fox Sports. It's called Baking with Baker, and he was on with Cooper Manning, and he takes another shot here at Hugh Jackson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the season finale of the Manning Hour. Today's guest is one of the biggest stars in the NFL. Biggest? Baker Mayfield, and he's right where every star wants to be during championship weekend. Not playing, but on my show. Thanks, Coop. At least I'm letting you debut your new show, Baking with Baker, in the spotlight. Gotta feel good. This was your idea. Hold this egg. Remember, everything the Manning brothers touch turns to gold.
Maybe the other brothers.
Look, if you're not a fan of kitchens, it's okay.
No, I love kitchens.
Yeah, kitchens are great. They're better than Jackson's.
Anything's better than you. Oh, you.
So just continuing to take shots at Hugh Jackson. Where are we? Where are we with Baker and the trash talk
Hugh
with this former coach?
Is Rich Kotite level bad as an NFL coach?
Richie Kotite.
I mean, if
don't
you
say
just,
that to you.
If you just watch the Browns at all after Hugh Jackson left, they were a marketably, drastically different looking team. And that started, by the way, beating the Falcons. You know, Nick Chubb was a better player. Baker Mayfield was a better player. They were a better team as soon as that leech got off their skin and stopped sucking the blood out of their organizational life. Wolverine can go back to making his movies or whatever now, you know, but he's awful. He's Rich Kotite, Dick Geron level bad of NFL coaching.
Dick Geron.
Who was the guy?
Campbell.
Dan Henning.
Oof.
Dan Henning level bad.
Yeah, he got the Falcons off to that 4-0 start in 86, man.
Who was it that took over for who was it that took over for Joe Gibbs? Was it it wasn't Mouse Davis.
It wasn't Mouse Davis.
Richie Pettibone?
I think it's Richie Pettibone, maybe.
I mean, that level bad of a coach. That's how far back you got to go with all that. As far as who, I forget. It might have been Richie Pettibone that took over for Joe Gibbs in the Redskins. I can't remember. But back to you, Brian. Sorry.
No worries. Yeah, I love it. I love the pettiness of it. And Baker, they played great. Who knows if they fired him a couple weeks earlier, they maybe have snuck their way into the playoffs. So should be interesting to see how they do next year. All right. Not really any story to this or any legs, but Braves' new uniforms, they came out on Saturday. Does this excite you guys at all? I mean,
You mean the same uniform that they've always had, and now they're just bringing
the font. They go from sans serif to what?
Right.
Times New Roman? What they do?
Right.
Nothing drastic.
And now they're bringing the Reds back on
the
Friday
Reds
nights like they already had.
Those are ugly.
So is this just kind of a nice
Why can't
little...
we have the powder blues on Friday?
Right, I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I also like the 70s, the pinstripe, the late 60s, early 70s pinstripe ones.
All right, another meaningless baseball story that just irks me every time I see it, and I have a personal bias against
them. Well, it's meaningful, then, if it irks you.
Tim Tebow, he's going to start spring training with the big leagues again. If he stayed healthy last year, there was a lot of reports, a lot of rumors that
he
would have been called up in September.
He batted like 271 in AAA last year, but he's like 240 overall.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not a major league player.
Where are you guys at with? I mean, is this just to sell tickets to get people to spring training? Is that it? Is that where we are?
Yeah, everywhere he went in the minor leagues, people came to see him.
Yeah,
I understand that. He's very likable. I get that, but he's not a major league player.
Why does everybody want to hate on? What has Tim Tebow done to like? Make anybody hate him.
He makes us all realize what sinners we are. That's what it is.
Right.
Yeah. So
because he's better than
focus our hate on him, therefore we don't have to look
because
in the
he's better than you at life. Then I should hate him. I mean, is that
the
reason
the
why?
Walk, and by the way, Miss Universe runner-up.
He just got engaged to Miss Universe or whatever.
You think
she
they've consummated that relationship?
No,
not yet. No, I think he's waiting.
That's why I got engaged to her.
She's going to take his flower.
He's like, enough is enough.
He'll take Timmy's flower.
Yeah. Imagine the children they'll have. Genetic freaks.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you, Brian. That was good stuff.
I want more. That was great.
Oh, we got one more coming, baby.
All right.
Late in the show. When we get back, we're going to take a deeper dive into the action yesterday in the NFL title games, break them both down. It's Team Have Not Takeover Day on the station.
Indeed.
Rob Triple, John Checker in the morning show, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from your Game Time Traffic Center. Trying to get where you need to go today. You should have no problems. Everything's looking great for you. Speed limit ride everywhere. Did have a little slowdown, though, for you with a possible incident here on the perimeter. Outer Loop 285 East over by Boulder Crest. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Stephanie Stallworth on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.